Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 235, entitled Transatlantic Machinations of the Fourth Reich. This is being recorded on July 9th of the year 2000, and as the title indicates, it discusses transatlantic maneuvering by international fascism and beyond that, and more specifically, by what I call the Underground Reich, literally a Third Reich gone underground, something that involves German elements, German corporate elements, and also American elements. And I want to stress that it is international in scope and that it is operating very evidently on both sides of the Atlantic with very strong evidentiary tributaries on both sides of the Atlantic involving German and American and other elements. One should not lose sight of the German national agenda of what I call the Underground Reich, and beyond that, its racial agenda. At the same time, I don't want to be misunderstood as being chauvinistic in a national fashion or being anti-German or anti-American or anything else. I am anti-fascist, and that's about as far as it goes. We're going to begin by taking a look at a realization of a plan for pan-German world conquest put out by pan-German theoretician Friedrich List in the 1840s. This is a plan that was discussed and reprised in, among other programs, For the Record program 232, entitled Can You Picture Us in London? Or How the United Kingdom Lost the Second World War. This particular article is from the Financial Times of London of Friday, July 7th of the year 2000. It's by Guy de Jonquieres, J-O-N-Q-U-I-E-R-E-S. It's headlined, L'Ami Warns UK Against Joining NAFTA. It reads in part as follows. Britain risked being drowned in mid-Atlantic, unquote, if it heeded U.S. calls to join the North Atlantic Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, Pascal Lamy, European Union Trade Commissioner, said yesterday. He agreed with the UK Foreign Office that the proposal, being promoted on a visit to London this week by Phil Graham, chairman of the US Senate International Trade Committee, was barmy, unquote, and not in Britain's economic and political interests. Mr. Lamy also signaled the start of a politically controversial campaign to try to change EU law to enable all decisions on trade policy to be taken by a qualified majority vote by the Council of Ministers. Now note that, among other things, the European Monetary Union was a realization of the plan by Friedrich List to achieve an economically unified Europe as a vehicle for not only unhorsing Britain as the dominant power on Earth, which it was at that time, but also assuring German world domination. Note here that there is maneuvering by the European Union, dominated by Germany, and that German corporate and economic domination applies in France as well, as we've seen in other broadcasts. Note here that there's maneuvering by the European Union to prevent the United Kingdom from joining NAFTA. Now, this should not be misinterpreted on my part as an endorsement of the North American Free Trade Agreement or globalization in general, but that aside, and certainly that is an issue that should be taken up by others and not an unimportant one, but the fact of the matter is that globalization is an ongoing process, and within that, there are some very, very significant economic and political conflicts which I believe are symptomatic of and indicative of the dominant clash to come internationally, which is literally a reprise of World War II with what one could call, and what I have called in past broadcasts, Germania versus Anglo-Saxonia. Germany and elements grouped around it against what could be termed Anglo-Saxonia, that is, the United States and Britain. Note also that Mr. Lamy was floating the idea of trade policy being taken by a majority vote. In the past, we've noted among other, we've noted in connection with the European Union that European Union actions could be blocked by a single major country, and that in fact Germany blocked the recognition of the Maastricht Treaty and basically by itself obliged the EU to endorse the breakup of Yugoslavia and to recognize the secession of Slovenia and Croatia, thus creating and causing the Balkans War. Note here that trade interests are to be decided by majority vote, according to Mr. Lamy, who has now put that forward. And note also how there are moves now by Joschka Fischer, the German foreign minister, to further federalize Europe. This would basically further unite Europe under German domination. Turning once again to the Financial Times of London, this of Friday, July 7th of the year 2000. This is an article by Neil Buckley in Strasbourg. It's headlined, German Foreign Minister Floats Idea of Elected EU President. It reads in part as follows. Joschka Fischer, the German foreign minister, suggested yesterday the existing job of President of the European Commission could evolve into a directly elected President of the European Union as he elaborated on his federalist vision for the EU's future. Speaking to the European Parliament's Constitutional Affairs Committee, Mr. Fischer said far-reaching and decisive talks on European integration had to start by 2002. Otherwise, the EU was heading for a crisis as it attempted to take in new members from the East. His warmly received appearance at the Strasbourg Parliament came 7 weeks after his speech at Berlin's Humboldt University kick-started a new political debate on Europe's direction. The German foreign minister repeated his vision of a European federation government by a new constitution or treaty dividing powers between national governments and the Union. Due to the limitations of time, a full discussion of the federalist issues with regard to the European Union, both with regard to trade and more explicitly or solely political issues, well, that would be beyond the scope of the present discussion. Do note here that in addition to proposing an idea for majority voting on various issues, that has been advanced at various times by Germany and has now been endorsed on trade issues by Mr. Lamy, the EU Trade Commissioner. Note here that whereas Germany was able to single-handedly force the breakup of Yugoslavia, and with the fracturing of various states, including Yugoslavia, into countries which are, to a certain extent at least, German satellites, Croatia and Slovenia being examples of those, as some of these smaller countries, many of them with unreconstructed fascist elements, such as some of the Baltic states, and renascent fascist elements, such as those in Hungary, as these countries join the European Union, the majority voting principle being endorsed now by Germany would basically make these German satellite countries and facilitate German domination of Europe, and bear in mind the Friedrich List plan for German world domination that is being realized by the European Monetary Union, something that I've discussed in numerous programs and most recently for the record program number 232. Now, speaking of the European Monetary Union, the unseating of Great Britain as the dominant power in Europe is something that is being accentuated by the European Monetary Union. Bear in mind the Friedrich List scenario that I advanced in past broadcasts, including, as I said, number 232. Bear in mind also that the United States is the dominant power on Earth, including the dominant Anglo-Saxon power. Now note the following. Note some of the pressures that are being brought on Britain to join the Euro, thereby further subjugating British economic power to German economic power. According to the Friedrich List formula, economic power and economic control automatically lead to political control. The following is from the New York Times of Thursday, July 6th of the year 2000. This is an article by Alan Cowell, or Cole, C-O-W-E-L-L. It's Dateline London, July 5th, headlined, In Britain, debate over adopting euro gains in intensity. The article reads in part as follows. An internal British debate over adopting the euro grew more intense today when the government published data that showed overseas investment in Britain had soared to a record despite the strength of the British pound. The data undercut complaints by foreign companies that the pound's strength was damaging them by making Britain an expensive place to manufacture goods for export. Bear in mind that the weak euro and its resulting damaging effects on the U.S. economy is something I've discussed in the past. The weak euro as something which is going to damage Britain's economy is also something that should be borne in mind, because the pound is at this point a relatively strong currency. Despite the announcement by the British government, please note the following in connection with the pressure by European Monetary Union and the existence of the euro on Britain and the pressure moving in the direction of the realization of the Fund List formula. Skipping down in this New York Times article of 7/6/2000, we read, But there is evidence that the pound's strength against the euro is eroding the readiness of manufacturers to risk the extra currency-driven costs of doing business here. This year alone, the Ford Motor Company and BMW AG have pulled out of British automotive plants, and Nissan has hinted it might move production of a new subcompact elsewhere. Adding to pressures to commit to the euro, Mr. Blair faces a competitive challenge from the strengthening economies of France and Germany, the twin motors of European integration, which could leave Britain on the sidelines. By the way, in past broadcasts, dealing with the remarkable work of Paul Manning and his book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, we have dealt with German corporate control over France. Note here that the Ford Motor Company and BMW have pulled out of British automotive plants, Nissan having hinted the same. Again, the relative strength of the pound makes British manufactured goods relatively expensive for people in other countries. The weak euro doing to a certain extent to the United Kingdom, according to some sources, what I predicted prior to the formal introduction of the euro it would do to the United States. And so far, the euro has indeed turned out to be a weak currency. Something else that's very, very significant in terms of the European Union is how the European Union is functioning on an international fashion, or in international fashion, as a vehicle for German political and economic chauvinism. Now, again, when I discuss some of the actions of the EU against some of the huge mergers and some of the economic concentration and globalization, this should not be misinterpreted by listeners as an endorsement on my part of increasing economic concentration or globalization. Nonetheless, the evident fact of both trends is something way beyond the control of Dave Emery. And I want to note in this regard that even though one hears criticism of international bodies and of NAFTA and GATT, including and especially from certain right-wing sources, there is no discussion or no substantive discussion of the European Union as a vehicle for German economic control and consequent political conquest. Bear in mind, too, the fact that the major German corporations are controlled at their foundation by the Bormann Group, as I've noted in the past, the economic component of a Third Reich gone underground. Note also that whereas American corporations function independently of one another and outside of cooperating on labor, marketing, and environmental considerations, they are apolitical. The various German corporations could be thought of as the different divisions in a military army. One could think of the 2nd SS Panzer as one corporation, the Hermann Göring Division as another corporation. They act in concert with one another as vehicles of national conquest. Even though they certainly strive to achieve profit, the profit is, in a geopolitical sense, a secondary motive, and the money that is gained from their operations is used to expand the corporations, but in turn, the overall agenda is one of international economic control and consequent political conquest, and the various major German corporations function in conjunction with one another like the divisions of an army, and that is fundamentally different. Now, having said that and reminded listeners of that, please note the following. Note how the European Union is now in a position to begin blocking and has been blocking certain corporate acquisitions. Now, much has been made of Microsoft's monopoly practices. I'm not even going to discuss that in a relative sense. But note here that whereas conspiracy sources, right-wing conspiracy sources in particular, have focused on everything from GATT and NAFTA to the United Nations, you never hear them talking about the European Union as a vehicle of German conquest. And note the profound usurpation of national sovereignty, national economic sovereignty, in this case American national sovereignty and economic sovereignty, by the European Union, in which the United States has no say whatsoever. The Wall Street Journal of Wednesday, July 5th of the year 2000 has the following story by Brandon Michener, M-I-T-C-H-E-N-E-R. It's datelined Brussels and headlined EU may block Microsoft deal with Telewest, and this reads in part as follows. Microsoft Corporation is working to salvage its proposed $3 billion investment in British cable television concern Telewest Communications PLC amid evidence European antitrust regulators are leery of the deal. 4 months into its investigation of the transaction, under which Microsoft has proposed taking a 29.9% stake in and assuming joint control of Telewest with AT&T Corporation's Liberty Media, the European Commission has circulated a draft decision recommending that the deal be blocked on the grounds that it threatens competition in the market for digital TV technology. Please note, again, the European Commission blocking an American corporate acquisition. One does not see, for example, the acquisitions of Bertelsmann being successfully challenged here in the United States. So please note the one-way street that the European Union's scotching of certain economic, certain corporate acquisitions is. A follow-up article to that Wall Street Journal article appeared in the Los Angeles Times of Saturday, July 8th of the year 2000. This is an article by Stanley Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. It's Dateline Seattle and headlined, Microsoft Surrenders Joint Control in Telewest Stake. It's subtitled Cable. Software giant will purchase 23.7% of British firm stock, ceding its preferential voting rights on European Commission's concerns. This article reads in part as follows, and it's a follow-up to the story that we just looked at. Microsoft Corporation on Friday agreed to give up its controlling interest in British cable company Telewest Communications, a move that reflects one of the realities of its antitrust troubles at home. The Redmond, Washington-based software giant will still purchase a 23.7% stake in Telewest for about $3 billion, but it will cede its preferential voting rights in its partnership with AT&T's cable unit, Liberty Media Group. So please note again that this is not an endorsement of monopolistic practices or economic globalization, but note how the European Union is functioning as a vehicle of de facto German political, economic, and consequent political conquest. Note, too, the following story, this from the Financial Times of London of Friday, July 7th of the year 2000. I have spoken in the past about the possibility of the next major war, hopefully there won't be one, but taking place between Anglo-Saxonia and Germania, between the United States and perhaps Britain, and a German-dominated Europe. I certainly hope that doesn't happen, but in that regard, note the following. Again, from the Financial Times of London of Friday, July 7th of the year 2000. This is an article by Ralph Atkins in Berlin and Alexander Nicol, N-I-C-O-L-L, in London. It's headlined, Spain, quote, must halt sale of arms maker to U.S., unquote. The article reads in part as follows. Germany is pressing Spain to block the planned sale of Santa Barbara Blindados, or SBB, the state-owned arms manufacturer to General Dynamics of the U.S. amid fears of damage to Europe's defense industry. Krauss Maffei Wegmann, W-E-G-M-A-N-N, and Rheinmetall, two German armored vehicle manufacturers which together made a competing bid for Santa Barbara, are warning that the deal could lead to the U.S. group acquiring details of Germany's Leopard 2 tank, which SBB is allowed to manufacture under license in Spain. Similar concerns have been expressed by Gerhard Schroeder, German Chancellor, to José María Aznar, the Spanish Prime Minister. The deal was thought to have been discussed in Madrid this week by Rudolf Scharping, German Defense Minister, and Federico Trillo, T-R-I-L-L-O, his Spanish counterpart. The transfer of technical know-how to General Dynamics, quote, would contradict completely attempts to find a European solution to the consolidation of the armaments industry, unquote, the German consortium said yesterday. Krauss Maffei Wegmann said it would use all means possible to prevent the U.S. company acquiring know-how about the Leopard 2. Question, why is Germany so worried about the United States getting secrets to its Leopard 2 tank? The United States and Germany perhaps going to war. The United States has been sharing all kinds of military technology with Europe, not to mention carrying the bulk of the burden in the Balkans War in 1999. Again, not to be interpreted as an endorsement of that war, which I most assuredly do not do and have been very critical of, a war I've been very critical of. But note here the tremendous concern on the part of German industry and on the part of the German government that the U.S. should acquire know-how about the German tank. What are they worried about? They certainly aren't worried about a war between the United States and Germany, are they? That's silly. We know that's never happened before. Along the lines, again, of the European Union, again, dominated by Germany, functioning as an international body with the power to deep six American corporate acquisitions, and again, this should not be misunderstood as an endorsement of economic concentration or of the acquisitions, the huge corporate cannibalism that has been taking place, but rather note within this context, as within the context of globalization, how the European Union is functioning as a vehicle of German economic and political chauvinism. Consider the following from the New York Times of Tuesday, June 27th of the year 2000. This is an article by Simon Romero and David Leonhardt, L-E-O-N-H-A-R-D-T. It's headlined, European official opposes WorldCom-Sprint merger, subtitled, but U.S. clears quest of takeover by U.S. West. Now, I would note, too, that the U.S. Department of Justice, quite properly, in my opinion, opposed the WorldCom-Sprint merger on antitrust grounds, but note that the European Union has been working to block WorldCom and Sprint, the European Commission. Those are American corporations. What in bloody hell does the European Commission have any business regulating American business? We don't have any say in the European Union. We don't have any say in the European Commission. We're not represented on it. And note that the net effect of the European Commission's pressure on WorldCom and Sprint would be to possibly, this has not taken place yet as I speak on July 9th, but to possibly pave the way for the acquisition of Sprint by Deutsche Telekom. Now again, take note of how the European Union is functioning in this context. This article, again from the New York Times of 6/27/2000, reads in part as follows. The top antitrust officer of the European Commission said yesterday that he would advise the Commission to block WorldCom from buying Sprint unless the company significantly altered the terms of the deal. In another development in the rapidly consolidating telecommunications industry, Qwest Communications International's $57 billion takeover of U.S. West received final regulatory approval yesterday, allowing the closing of a transaction that nearly fell apart when Qwest considered dropping the deal in favor of a buyout offer from another company. But analysts say Qwest's choice to conclude the deal may come at the cost of a potentially more lucrative deal with Deutsche Telekom, Europe's largest communications concern. The German company entered into and then abruptly broke off merger talks with Qwest earlier this year. Apprehension over whether the Denver-based Qwest lost an opportunity has grown in recent days with signs that regulatory authorities in Europe could block WorldCom's takeover of Sprint. That could make the two companies, number two and number three in American long distance, potential takeover targets for Deutsche Telekom. Please note the following. Again, apprehension over whether the Denver-based Qwest lost an opportunity has grown in recent days with signs that regulatory authorities in Europe could block WorldCom's takeover of Sprint. That could make the two companies, number two and number three in American long distance, potential takeover targets for Deutsche Telekom. Skipping down, the Europeans, meanwhile, are concerned about the size of the company's internet businesses, which carry web traffic between local phone companies and large service providers like America Online. We're going to be taking up this same article in a different context as we talk about an extension of the German corporate control over American publishing and American media. We're going to be talking about growing German corporate control or attempted control over the internet. So stay tuned for that coming up in weeks to come, or arriving in weeks to come. Skipping down in this article, quote, the Germans have a hole burning in their pocket. They want to buy something so badly, unquote, said Scott Clayland, the managing director of the Legg Mason Precursor Group in Washington. Deutsche Telekom's intentions to create a global network are well known. In an effort to expand across the Atlantic, the company may be seeking to use its stock, which is thought to be highly valued, as a currency to acquire a large American telecommunications company. When the Qwest U.S. West deal is completed, it will be the first major combination between large local and long-distance telephone companies. Shares of Qwest rose 56 cents to $52.93.75 while U.S. West climbed $1.28 to $93.75. The prospects for Quest remain bright to some analysts. Quote, for Quest, it's either acquire or get acquired after it digests U.S. West, said Andrew Hammerling, a telecommunications analyst with the Bank of America Securities. I think Quest is terribly attractive to any company seeking to expand, unquote. So again, although the U.S. antitrust considerations were very significant here, please note that the European Commission was working to scotch the WorldCom-Sprint merger, and that waiting in the wings was Deutsche Telekom. Again, note the German economic and political national agenda underlying the EU and European Commission facade, and note again the Friedrich List formula, which I've discussed in the past. Note again the remarkable Bormann organization, which I've discussed so many times in the past. I've made many references to tapes, For the Record tapes, and as well as archive shows, particularly For the Record tapes. Those are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179. That's P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail at spitfirelist.com. That's mail at spitfirelist.com. There's a list of and description of the various tapes available from Spitfire on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E-L-I-S-T.com. There are mini article-length descriptions of the various For the Record sections or segments. The Spitfire website is equipped with real audio so that people can listen to the programs that are going out to the stations that carry this broadcast each week. Please note that there's a matching set of descriptions on the KFJC website at kfjc.org. Look in the transmissions and public affairs sections. People can reach me by email at demory@kfjc.org. This concludes Side A of For the Record program number 235, Transatlantic Machinations by the Fourth Reich. We're going to continue this on the next side of the tape. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.